So good to see each one today. Trust that we've come praying. Trust we have a ready mind to look to the Lord in His precious word. Certainly desire you to continue in prayer and beg God's mercy and grace as we go into the preaching part of the service today. I'm going to just turn and read a familiar verse. This is not what we're going to speak on, but I do want to show the difference on what we're going to speak on from this as we begin this morning. If I'm able and speak upon what's upon my heart and mind this morning, I would endeavor to try to talk about the reward or benefit. Benefit is a wonderful synonym for reward. And the Bible teaches reward in obedience and in serving God. Now, we old Baptists don't have to shy away from all of the expressions and language and verses in the Bible that speak of reward. I want to tell you that they're many. They're many. And if you haven't looked up how many lately and looked at some of them, maybe you'd like to refresh your mind along that way of the promises that God has made and of the scripture that actually the translators in translating uses that word reward. And it's in the sense as most of us understand that word reward from the sense of the Oxford Dictionary, the Webster Dictionary, and so forth, and our understanding of it. Reward is that is received in doing something or in giving of something or in service of something. There is reward for it. Now, we understand from 1 Peter chapter 1, and that's what I want to reiterate, that we're certainly not talking about heaven and mortal glory this morning, but we're still upon the subject matter of talking about that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's all of God's word. And how the scriptures compel us in a line, in a way of obedience. Heaven and immortal glory is not a reward for God's people. We understand what heaven and immortal glory is, far as to God's people in this sense, as we're speaking at this present time there in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Starting with verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Thank God for the begetting again and assurance and renewing of hope. I tell you, those apostles' hope was renewed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we have the witness in the scripture and of individuals above 500 brethren at one time that witnessed the resurrected Christ. So he has begotten us again into a lively hope. Oh, their hope was fading. Their hope was vanishing with the death, the crucifixion of Christ. But when he arose from the dead, thank God, we realize a lively hope. I believe that's what that verse is saying right there. And by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, because he arose, he sealed, he settled, he gave the assurance of an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Who is Peter writing to? He's writing to the elect of God. He's just said that in verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. He's writing to the elect. So the you, the elect, are kept by the power of God through faith, through the very faithfulness of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Yes, we struggle and we have problems and situations and trials and testings here in this life. But yet in that we greatly rejoice, because we know that if this earthly house be dissolved, that we have a building of God eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, as the scripture plainly declares unto us. So as I've said a lot of times, when I've heard people mention and they use it this way, and they talk about someone in passing, someone that has died, and they refer to it and say, well, they've gone to their reward. I certainly trust that I don't go to my reward in that sense when I die, because if I do, I'm not going that way. I'll be going down this way. Amen. I hope you understand that. Because heaven is not a reward, but the scripture is full of reward and benefit. But it's right here. It's temporal. It's timely. And in rightly dividing the word of God, we can understand and we can be blessed with these great things to understand that. So I think, in having said that, I believe after preaching to you folks for nearly 3 years, that you understand my theology, where I'm coming from on that subject matter. But this is being recorded. And just in case there's somebody that hadn't heard me preach for 3 years, amen, they can get straightened out to start with for the very intent and the very purpose that we're preaching. It goes right along with what we have been preaching upon and speaking upon. I was going to turn to another text to begin with after this, but if the Lord being our helper, we might go there after a while. But right now, I want to turn to the book of Proverbs in the 13th chapter and verse 13, 14, and 15. Now I'm going to tell you something, because I think it's only fitting and proper to do so. Brother John Claybo, in texting this week, he reminded me of this verse. This verse has stayed with me since early yesterday morning, and got my mind. I'm still in the same thought and in the same vein of subject matter upon man shall not live by bread alone. And of course, that doesn't mean simply a loaf of bread, singular in and of itself, but the word bread represents food. So it's food in general. Bread is the staff of life. Bread is representative of all food. Just as much, I believe that verse is saying, just as much as your natural body has to have natural food to sustain and to have substance, you need every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God to enjoy the benefits and blessings of eternal life. Because we have it dwelling in our very being now. And that's the only way we can enjoy the abundant life in Christ while we live here in this life. Amen. But of course, our inheritance, our main inheritance, oh, we get a little foretaste of it, and we get a little heaven to go to heaven in. That's what I'm talking about. We get a little heaven to go to heaven in, and I'll bring that out here in a few moments, the Lord willing, when we turn to a verse of Scripture. But I want you to listen here in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13. Whoso despiseth the word, now I believe this is talking about God's word. This is talking about his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, his precepts, and all of the things that the word of God, the admonitions, the exhortations, the instruction in righteousness, that's just brief, but you understand what I'm talking about. This is not talking about Jesus, the Word made flesh. I believe this is talking about the spoken, the written down word of God. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. Now, how much plainer can that be? I mean, how much plainer? Now, what destroying is that? Who should be concerned about that? I want to tell you, the wicked are not concerned about being destroyed.
No.
No, they're deceived. They're under a false pretense. Anyway, far as in this life and plodding right along and giving God not a second thought. All right, but who would have consideration? Who would have an interest far as the teaching of God's word in this perspective? I believe he's talking about God's people in particular, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. I believe he's talking to God's people. This book is written to God's people. Let's don't forget that. Let's don't forget that. The wicked have no concern with it. Now, it will tell about the wicked in here. It will tell about their final end. It will tell about some wicked people in this book. But it is not admonitions nor exhortations nor warnings to them. It is geared toward, and it is objects of God's grace that are the subjects of the spoken and written word of God. Now, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth forth his power and his great glory and so forth. The very handiwork of God is seen. Even the wicked can see that. But even in that, they deny that there would have to be. They might say it with their mouth to start with along that line, but they're soon departed from it. There's nothing there that will take hold upon them or grab them or bind them to it or anything like that. It's only God's people that can ascribe the glory of creation unto God in a realization way. But yet it's there, and it is a testimony against the wicked also that do say in their heart, there is no God. So whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth. Now who are only ones that's going to fear God? The text interprets itself along that line. So we can understand it from that consideration. The Bible teaches us of those that aren't born of the Spirit of God, there is no fear of God before their eyes. So who would be the only ones that the fear of God can be before their eyes? It's those that are born of the Spirit of God, that are able and have the capability and even the desire to fear God. And then, of course, that fear is more realized with knowledge and understanding if they would apply themselves to the Scripture and the meditation of the Scriptures and the meditation of God's Word and give heed unto it and fear the Lord. I tell you, every time I read through Deuteronomy, I get scared. I don't know about you, but I tell you what, I read through Deuteronomy and I read about what God told them. And how that they, if they didn't serve the Lord, how they'd become the tail instead of the head. Yeah. Amen. You know there's a lot of references in the Scripture about being the head, not the tail. Yeah, they are. There's a lot of references. But there is a reference that talks about God says, where you're the head, I'll make you the tail. Where you are the lender, I'll make you the one having to borrow. Where you've got a good land, there'll be strangers come in and take it and devour it. And you'll become their servants. Oh, I want to tell you, I get frightful when I read those things, because I tell you, in a way, I can see where we might not be too far from it in this land. Oh, I'm not trying to get political. I'm just preaching the Bible, and if the shoe fits, wear it. Amen. If the shoe fits, wear it. Let it fall where it'll fall. Let the lion lay where it'll lie. Amen, preacher. That's right. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment. Now, it don't say it. I want you to get the real perspective of this. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. It don't say he that feareth God. Now you've got to fear God in order to fear the commandment. But what's under consideration is fearing the commandment. Fearing the commandment that God has given. For with the commandment, there is promise, there is blessing in doing so. Honor thy father and mother. That is the first commandment with promise in that sense that it goes into. And so forth. So that's from the standpoint that we're approaching this. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. There it is. Right there it is. Right there's the word. And we don't have to back up from that. It's the truth. It's God's word. You fear the commandment. What does it mean to fear the commandment? If you really fear the commandment, you're going to obey the commandment. Yeah. If you don't obey the commandment, you're not fearing it. You're not fearing the commandment. I'm not fearing the commandment if I'm not obeying the commandment. Now, I'm glad for heaven and mortal glory. There's one that kept it to the jot and tittle. Amen. Dotted every I, crossed every T, because we fall short. And we have to beg for God's mercy. And you know, God made allotments for that. God made allotments that if we confess our sins, if we would not cover our sins, if we would not try to hide our sins, but if we would lay them open and bare before Him, oh, He would deal with us as a loving Father. Oh, that He would have mercy and pity us as the apple of His eye, as the center and focus point of His divine attention. He goes on into verse 14 and he says, the law of the wise is a fountain of life.
Yeah.
To depart from the snares of death. Yeah. The law of God, the word of God, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, to lay hold upon it and to use it and to take it. Amen. To be wise in it, to put it into use. It's like a fountain of life that will save you from death.
Yes.
Amen. That's, I believe, one particular aspect of that death. Death's always separation. Of course, this is temporal. This is timely. Right here, dealing with God's people. Dealing with us in a way of discipleship. And in chastisement and so forth. So, but to depart from the snares of death. Death's always a separation. If we'll look into His word, if we'll look into Him, we'll have fellowship with God and we'll not be separated from the fellowship of God while we live right here in this life. You know, we talked about good understanding. We talked about, as the Bible said, to get it. You know, get wisdom. Get under, and in all thy getting, get understanding. Get it. Pursue it.
Yeah.
Pursue after it diligently. On purpose. He said in verse 15, good understanding giveth favor. But the way of transgressors is hard. What transgressors are under consideration here? The wicked, wicked? No. The wicked, wicked, that's not the transgressors that's under consideration here. The transgressors, but the way of transgressors is hard. This is God's people. Their way is hard. This is a disciple of Christ. Their way is hard if they're in a way of transgressing, if they're in a way of destruction, if they're in that broad way that leadeth to death, that leads to separation from God and His favor, His reward, His benefits, His blessings as we live right here in this life. That's why it is so important. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. It's God's people's way is hard when we're going in a way of transgressing and keep on in it and persistent in it and won't give heed, because what God does and is hard is applying that bit and that bridle to turn us. And sometimes that bit and that bridle, it's hard in that chastening, but He chasteneth those that He loves and He rebukes. Every son He scourgeth, every son that He receiveth, He chastens those that He loves. I want to turn back over into Deuteronomy chapter 11. In Deuteronomy which is a reminder of God's law. You've heard me say it many times. These final addresses, these final rehearsals, rehearsing the law, rehearsing and telling Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, telling this over again. These are Moses' sermons and discourses in his final days that he is preaching by inspiration of the Spirit and warning the children of Israel before they go into the land of Canaan how they ought to behave, how they ought to do in order to live a peaceable life and fellowship with God. So he says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting in verse 18, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul." Think about this. Amen. This is what God says through Moses. Moses, you tell the children of Israel to lay up these words. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, lay them up in your heart and in your soul. Take them to heart, because God means them. Amen. Take it to heart. God means it. Love it. Love it with your heart. Love it with that inward man. Love it with that new creation. That it comes to the forefront. That it comes out and manifests and brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, and bears forth a righteousness unto God right here in this life. And bind them for a sign upon your hand, that you may be as frontless, that they may be as frontless. Talking about God's word as a sign, is that before that which is between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children. Notice this. You take it to heart. You take it into your soul, to your very being. You teach it to your children. You teach it to them diligently. You speak of it. What did he say? Speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou riseth up. That pretty much covers it, don't it? Amen. All the time, continuously. You get up in the morning, as you go through the day, when you're encountering your children, when you're interacting with them, in whatever the situation is, the circumstance, be ready to give them something from God's word that is appropriate to whatever's going on at that time. When you're telling your children or correcting them, have something from God's word to tell them. Speak of God's word continuously. This is why we do this. This is why we don't do this. God says do this. God says don't do that. It's important. God's word sets it forth before us and teaches us this. He says in verse 20, "And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates." This is how important that they ought to be. That you write them. That you pin, even to pin them down. To show forth. You know, you're able to comprehend something and to remember something if you write it down. And if you write it several times, it'll come home to you even more so. So the emphasis is, what is it saying in a nutshell? It's saying be familiar with God's word. Yeah. Be familiar with it. Be able to handle it. Amen. Be able to write and divide it. This is another reason why we come to church as often as we do. God has so designed it, especially that we come aside and God has ordained preaching and teaching by men that he's called and given gifts unto to do it, to teach God's people. The preacher should be through God's word. If you are giving your children God's word at home, if you're teaching them, I know you are. Amen. And then when they come and they see it and they hear me saying it from the pulpit, they hear it as a reinforcement. Amen. From the preacher standing with the Bible open and reinforcing it. Give credence, to give the extra strength unto it. You know, it's great to have several witnesses to the same fact, to the same truth. The Bible even says, let every word be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So the more that you hear it, and more that is confirmed, and more the ones that they hear it from, the better off that they certainly are. And then he says the reason why that we just read here, that your days may be multiplied.
Yes.
That your days may be multiplied. Here's reward. Here's benefit.
Yes.
Amen. That's what it is. That your days may be multiplied. That's a reward. And the days of your children, your days and your children's days, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Now I want you to catch that last part right there. I want you to catch that. In the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them. In other words, this will be the way their days are, as the days of heaven upon the earth.
Yeah.
You know what's another thing that is so good about, I'll just say a three-day meeting. I've been in them starting Thursday night for all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And you know, it just gets better and better. Why? Because you've had several days right there that your mind has been upon the scriptures more than it's been upon the things of the world. You've come aside. You've had less things. When you're gathered around God's people and folks of like precious faith, and you've been speaking scriptures, you've been talking scriptures in your fellowship, you've been listening to the scriptures. And a lot of times we will say this, boy, this has just seemed like a little foretaste, a little drop of what heaven must be, that we've been enjoying it. Why? Because you have had several days there. Amen. You've had a longer period of time that your mind has been more stayed upon the scriptures and upon God's word. Well, this is the idea. This is what he's teaching. As the days of heaven upon the earth, God will give us a little heaven to go to heaven in. God will bless us with his heartfelt presence if we will fellowship him in fearing the commandment, in fearing him, and in giving heed to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Now, for the sake of time, there's more verses here, but I'm going to skip on over to verse 26. And I want you to notice what the Lord tells them. He's been telling them through this. He's been giving them conditions, blessings if they do. But in verse 26, he says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. I set before you a blessing. He's saying, I set before you a curse. A blessing, a reward, a benefit. If ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day.
Amen.
Here's the blessing. Here's the reward in doing. There are blessings in doing. You know, the religious absoluter says that nothing is gained in obedience and nothing is lost in disobedience. I want to tell you, that can be no further from the Bible than anything. That ain't what the Bible teaches. I want to tell you, there's much to lose in disobedience. The Word of God teaches this from the front to the back, to God's people, to His disciples as we live right here in this life. And it teaches that there is much to gain. There is much reward. There is much blessing. There is much benefit. Oh, brothers and sisters, you know, I've been using that word. I'm just going to hold right there. Just hold right there in Deuteronomy 11, and let me just read real quick, flipping over to Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He loads us daily with benefits. Now, he's not going to load us daily with benefits if we're not in fellowship with him, if we're not walking in harmony with the commandment, if we're not walking in harmony with his word and observing every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I know God's merciful and God's long-suffering and God is kind and God blesses us way more than we could ever do. But I tell you this morning, there are blessings in obedience. I've seen it through my life.
Amen.
That there are blessings, that there are benefits. God's word teaches this. God's word brings this down and bears it out. It's just that so many religious orders and folks out here, they don't rightly divide the word. And they've taken place. All of these scriptures is things that you do or don't do in order to have a home in heaven. That ain't what this preacher's preaching. I'm preaching, amen, that we do what God says and we withstand from what he says not to do in order to have a home in the old church, in order to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, in order to have wonderful fellowship with God and to feel of his goodness and of his mercy.
Yeah.
That's why we do it. Not to have heaven. You can't never earn heaven. You'll never be able to merit heaven in immortal glory. You'll never be able to deserve it. I'd never be able to deserve it. If we got what we deserved, we would live and spend an endless and ageless existence throughout an endurance of forever without end in woe and in misery. That's what we'd have. Oh, but because of what Jesus did,
Yeah. There's
what I read to you in 1 Peter. There's an inheritance.
Yeah.
Amen. To the elect who are kept by the power of God. Thank God for preservation. Preserved in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes. But I'm going to tell you, God will preserve you. Amen. Here in this life. Oh, not just for heaven and immortal glory, but he'll preserve us. He'll keep us. Amen. It's the apple of his eye, if condition. Amen. If we'll observe and if we'll do and if we'll be obedient. And you always remember, and I've said it over and over, when I point this way, they're coming back this way. I preach to myself just as much as I preach to you. Amen. Or anybody else. Amen. I'm preaching to David Guthrie. Amen. To warn him and to tell him I'm in the same shape and in the same condition and the same boat you're in. Amen.
Yeah.
So he says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey. But what's 28 say there in Deuteronomy 11? And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord. If you won't fear the commandment and observe and do the commandment, well, the commandment don't look good. The commandment don't taste good. The commandment don't smell good. Or the commandment don't feel good. That's your natural senses. We're not walking by sight and we're not living by the carnal nature. We're not to live by that. If we do, the works of the flesh will be manifested. And that's what we've got to try to stay away from. That's what we've got to try to stay away from. You know, it just comes up to me so many times, and forgive me for using a personal, and Sister Bonnie won't care, but I remember one time I was asking and talking to her about her chickens, and it just reminded me this morning, talking about the old coon getting those chickens. But it just reminded me something had got some chickens. And I'd asked her the question about, were they going to eat the chickens, you know, raise them to eat them. She said, no, we're trying to keep our chickens alive. And we're trying to keep our chickens alive. And I remember that so many times. You know, I want to try to stay alive. Amen. That's what we're trying to do. Amen. By the mercy and grace of God, alive in Christ, lively. Well, yes, we're in an eternal sense alive. We're kept by the power of God, reserved. That's settled. But how about the fellowship with God here? How about the blessings? How about the reward? How about the benefit that the Word of God promises us if we walk in a way of obedience? Walk in a way of obedience. God is our Heavenly Father. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I commanded you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. And he goes on and on, amen, through this. And as I've said to you before, if you haven't read in Deuteronomy, read through all of that lately. You ought to do that. Want to turn back to an expression. I probably could quote a little bit of it, but that's all right. I want to go there to Genesis chapter 15, just that first there with God speaking to Abraham. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, where it says, "After these things the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Now this is the way God appears unto Abraham here. And this is what God tells Abram before his name is changed Abraham and so forth in the next chapters that follow. And the progression of discipleship that God leads Abram in, and even changing his name to Abraham and appearing unto him as El Shaddai, meaning God, God Almighty. That's where the English translation God Almighty comes from. It's from the old language there of El Shaddai, God Almighty. But as God appears to him in this vision, and it's recorded here in Genesis 15 and 1, when God says, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Oh, what a great blessing. Doesn't that sound so wonderful that God appears to him? God has called him forth out of Ur of Chaldee. God has told him to go, that he'd go into a land that God would show him and afterwards give him an inheritance. And what God is saying to Abraham in doing this, you don't fear, you don't be afraid. I'm your shield. I'm your exceeding great reward. I'm your benefactor.
Yeah.
I'm your need meter. You know, I think so many times that verse of scripture that's given to the Philippians, when the apostle says unto them, "For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I tell you, his reward is rich. His benefits are rich. His blessings, his benefits that he loadeth us down daily as we walk in a way pleasing unto him, in a way of obedience. How sweet and wonderful it is of that fellowship with the Lord. And it's not that you're going to live perfect. It's not that you're going to do everything perfect. But the point is, don't try to cover it up.
Yeah.
Don't try to cover your missteps up before God. Don't try to cover your sin, your transgressions up before God. Don't do as many that we could bring about from the scriptures. Don't do as they did. And you know, that's what the apostle warns the church at Corinth. There in 1 Corinthians, what chapter? In chapter 10, he says, don't do as they did. Don't do like they did, where they rose up and played, committed fornication, did all these things, how that so many of them died in a day, and this and that happened to them. You don't do. These things are written for your examples, that you don't do like that. And so we have God's word that shows the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, of the patriarch's life. It's not hid. The Bible talks about the strong points of David. Talks about the wonderful points. A man after God's own heart and all of the good things. But it also tells about the sin. It tells about the shame. It tells about the disgrace involved with David. The Bible don't try to hide any of it. No, it don't. It shows the good, shows the bad, shows the that which is pleasant looking, shows that which is ugly. Amen. So we can learn that we can benefit from those things. You know, last Sunday, we left off there. Well, let me just say this. Not only in chapter 15 about God says, "I'll be your exceedingly great reward," but not just in the same language, but if I remember correctly, you turn over to Genesis chapter, I believe it's chapter 26 and verse 24. Yes, it is. When God is speaking to Isaac, Abraham's son, God tells him in the same thing, basically here, not in the same words, but in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 24, and the Lord appeared unto him that same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. He doesn't use the same words. He doesn't use, I'm your shield and your exceedingly great reward. But he says, I'm with thee. He said, fear not. That's what he told Abraham. He says, I'm with thee. I will bless thee. He's telling him the same thing. There in those words and that expression that he said there unto Abraham. Before I go to Proverbs chapter 4, along with that verse that we talked about there in Psalm 68 and 19 about the Lord daily loadeth us with benefits, there is a psalm, Psalm 18, that is more so referred to by a lot of Bible scholars as the reward psalm. And in Psalm 18, it's a long psalm, but there's particularly right in the middle of it several verses, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to bring out Psalm 18 and verse 20, where it says, where David is speaking. Now, this is a psalm that David wrote. David, the servant of the Lord. And he spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him and blessed him from his enemies, delivered him from all of his enemies and even from the hand of Saul. And he delivered it unto the priest and for them to sing this psalm. But in verse 20, it says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Now, if we have a problem with that, let's just take it up with God. Yeah. Go back and take it up with David. Of course, you can't get to him, all right? If we got a problem with that language, I don't have a problem with that language. I believe we can rightly divide that, and we can understand that, and we don't have to put more into it than what's there, but don't take away from it. Don't take away from what it's saying. The Lord rewarded me according, means in accordance with. Now that's what the Word of God is for. And we have quoted this scripture. You've heard other preachers quote this scripture. You've read this scripture that Paul admonished Timothy. That all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. For instruction in righteousness. David was instructed from God's word. And there was times, there were seasons that David walked in a way of righteousness. Don't you think he was walking in a way of righteousness and he was doing righteousness whenever he penned down by inspiration of the Spirit, and God bless him to do so. And in the scripture declares that David was a man after God's own heart. Amen. He'd have to been in the new creation. He'd have to been walking and living in the Spirit to be a man after God's own heart. And when he was walking and living in the Spirit, very pleasing to God, wonderful son and son relationship with God. You know, the prophet had to go to David. And the prophet had to bring forth unto him. David was trying to cover and David was trying to hide. David was still walking in the flesh. And it certainly wasn't pleasing to God, even though certainly he is born again. But he was manifesting the works of the flesh when he committed adultery and committed murder and so forth. But even though the prophet had to be sent unto him, David was trying to cover it up for a while. But as soon as the prophet said, thou art the man, God smote him right in his spiritual nature. And what did David humbled himself. David right then started humbling himself.
Yeah.
So we thank God for that, because that's an example to show us. It's better for us not to have been as David, not to do it, and then it'd been better not to hide it. But if you've done it, and even though you tried to hide it, but then, amen, the next best thing then is to confess it and be open before God.
Yeah.
And turn to God. And so we can certainly see a pattern there. But he said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. Recompensed. That's another synonym for reward. Notice that. According to the cleanness of my hands. Now, like I said, I don't want to get in the left field ditch with that, and I don't want to get in the right ditch with that. But it says what it says. Now, to help go along with that, to give us another witness and help us with some understanding, I want to turn over in the Revelation letter to the church at Thyatira. Church at Thyatira. Now, if you hadn't read this, starts in verse 18, unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write these things. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through and read this, but there's some real serious things going on there. And God tells them what he's going to do. He tells them in verse 23, it's real serious, of the chastening and chastisement, what's going to come about. But then when you get down and you go to the ending of that verse 23, notice what he says in verse 23 of chapter 2, Revelation. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works.
Yeah.
I will give unto every one of you, the ones that are walking righteously, I'm going to give unto you according to your works of walking righteously. You that are guilty of these things that I've just told you about and went over and so forth, then you're going to receive the damnation. Not hell in afterlife, the eternal woe and misery, the wrath to come that Jesus has saved his people from. But they were going to experience a woe and a misery right here in this life in a way of chastisement. But because their actions, their walk, their talk, their conduct was not in accordance with the commandment. They were not adhering to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But he says, I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now, you turn on over in this Revelation letter into that last chapter, and you read in verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I've said this a lot of times. Now, this may have dual application, but I think that the primary application and I think the focus point of it is right here in this life.
Right
here and now. I think that this coming quickly that the Lord's going to do. Now, the Lord's going to come quickly in the end of time. He's going to come quickly then, but I just don't understand this to be teaching that. I don't understand it that way. He says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, there's a blessing to those that keep the prophecy of the saying of this book in connection with him coming quickly. Now, when the Lord comes in the end of time, it ain't going to have anything to do with anybody keeping the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Well, that's the tenet of our faith. That's what we believe, don't we?
Amen.
Heaven's an inheritance for the elect. When the Lord comes again, I tell you, on a scale of 0 to 10, there's going to be God's children all over that scale for us in a way of obedience, in a way of discipleship. Amen. I mean, they some that if it was weighed out. You know, just it'd be totally off. But even at a 9.9, it's not a good enough for heaven immortal glory. But I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. The connection here is, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And he says it's in connection with I come quickly. In other words, I'm coming in a way of observing and judging. You see, we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ daily. Daily, our works are tried in the furnace, tried by fire, to see if our works come out, see what they are, if they're burned as hay and stubble, or if they come out as silver and gold. That ain't got a thing to do with heaven and immortal glory. Now, our good Armenian friends, they believe it does. And if your works are burned up, you know, you're not going to make it in. This burning up of works, that in that context, in that teaching, is talking about God's people right here in this life, the disciples of Christ. And it goes right back that the way of a transgressor is hard. And I want to tell you, the way of a transgressor is going to be hard when he comes quickly. He comes often, and he comes quickly. He's the judge. He's the head of his church. He judges us continually. He judges us by his word. We're judged by our works, by our actions, by our doings, by our sayings, for right here in this life.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I'm trying to rightly divide the word. I'm trying to be in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Amen. That's why you've got so many isms and schisms of folks in that ditch over yonder. And why there's so many different orders and so many different beliefs and things. But a lot of them's got that one thing in common, where they take this whole book and you got to measure up to all of it and do all of it in the sense to make it into heaven's world. Jesus said, "It is finished." Something was finished. He didn't say, "I am finished." No, he rose from the dead to execute his will, to carry it forth, to execute the everlasting covenant, to see that every promise is home safe with him. But it is finished. Redemption was finished. A reconciliation between the electing God. The elect were as represented in Adam. Adam's the offender. God is the offendee. But thank God, Jesus made peace through the blood of his cross.
Yeah.
He made peace between God and the elect. Reconciling, reconciliation. And he has given unto us the ministry, the word of reconciliation. Preacher don't have any power to reconcile. Amen. And in the context of Jesus reconciling, God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Reconciling, reconciliation, and he has given unto us the ministry, the word of reconciliation. Preacher don't have any power to reconcile. Amen. And in the context of Jesus reconciling, God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. But we have, and we try to preach the word of reconciliation. Tell you about it. To tell you what happened. Amen. To try to dot the I's and cross the T's as much as we can. To give you all, to bring forth from the scripture all the information that we can about it. Whereby it gives you more and more assurance. Whereby more and more it gives you peace as you live right here in this life. Then he went on and he said, again in verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be."
Yeah.
This is Christ. Once again, in the same context, in the same vein of thought I've just talked about the last 3 or 4 minutes. And he says that his reward is with him. We know it can't be, it's not talking about heaven and immortal glory. He's coming with his reward to give to every man according as his work shall be. This is talking about his children. The wicked is not in that right now. Now the wicked at the great white throne judgment, the books are going to be open, And those will be judged out of those books according to their works.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about that.
No.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about this subject matter that I'm on. And this is the context, I believe, in which this is. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I think these verses give validity and further help us to understand that Psalm 18 and 20 that we just read over there. Now, we understand from the Hebrew letter, very, very familiar verse, and I'll tie that into what we were saying in Proverbs chapter 4 when we were emphasizing about getting and the emphasis of it. When he said there in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 5, he said, get wisdom, get understanding. And in verse 7, he said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding.
Yeah.
This word get and getting, and the very implying in these verses, as I said to you, imply to us and teach us fervency. To be zealous. To be fervent. To get with it. Don't delay. All right? Now, tie that in with this New Testament scripture there in Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. That's that same vein of thought of that getting. Get it. Lay hold on it. Pursue it. Seek it. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. But the main point here is, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, fervently seek him, zealously seek him. Go after. Pursue. Be persistent. On purpose. As I've said many times, you just will not just fall into serving God. Now, it's easy to fall off of a log. You know, it's easy to be trying to walk a log going across a creek and that thing's got moss on it and it's wet and all that. It's slippery. It's easy to fall. You've heard that old saying about something. They talk about something. Well, it's just as easy as falling off a log. Now, I'll tell you, it's not as easy as falling off a log to serve God. That's what we're saying. I mean, you got to do it on purpose. You've got to do it diligently. I've got to do it on purpose.
Yeah.
All right, that's time come and gone. We'll just go ahead and stop there. I appreciate your kind attention. And I trust that you will be as the Bereans, that you'll continue to look at these things and search the scriptures and see if these things be so. God bless you is my prayer.
Amen, brother. You got it right.
We'll stand together. Probably don't ignore the church.
51.
And you know that's another thing of most importance. And that the Word of God teaches that it comes under every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. The Scripture tells us over and over and exhort God's children that would walk in well obedience. If you have a desire to live for God, if you want to try to please God, if you have a desire to try to do what the Bible says to do, then you got to start at the water. You got to start at the water. And that's the beginning. It ain't ending. Baptism is not graduation. It's inauguration. You know, it's the start. It's the focus.